Hi, and welcome to Untethered with Genless, the podcast that's here to help you break free, be you, and unleash your inner brilliance. I'm your host, Jen, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to use unstoppable grit to break through the 7 roadblocks standing between you and achieving your goals. Let's dive in. Hey there, Unicorn. Welcome back to the podcast. Today on the podcast, we have a special treat. Danielle Kobo is joining us. She's a former Fortune 500 senior sales manager turned influential leadership expert. Danielle has a new book called Unstoppable Grit, and she's here to tell us all of the things that she has learned along her journey, the hardships that she's faced, the challenges that she's faced, the goals that she's had that she has been able to achieve. She's going to share with us the things that have supported her in making it to the point that she's at. So her book has already hit bestseller status. It's coming out actually this week, so you can get your copy of it. In this episode, she shares some of the things from the book that have supported her in her own journey and some of the tips and tools and strategies that she's got in there that can help you to navigate life, achieve your goals, and live your most brilliant life. One of the things that I really enjoyed about Danielle in this conversation is that she's walked the walk and she's talking the talk. She has grown herself in sales up to the highest point that you can be. She has had that rug completely slipped out from underneath her. She has completely reinvented her career. She has gone in and done a lot of the hard things that a lot of us maybe dream of or want to do, but she has made it happen. She's built the podcast. She's done the things. And she's standing on the other side and telling us, here are the things that will support you. And so that's why I brought her on the podcast to share all of the things that she's been through on this journey. And then we're getting to join her at this really cool point in her journey where the book is being launched and she can look back and say, here's why I did it. Here's why it matters. And to encourage you to do whatever that thing is for you. What is the thing that you want to do? Keep that in mind as you listen to this episode with her, because your journey might not be exactly her journey. You might not have faced the things that she has faced that she's going to tell you about in this episode. But we all have things. We all have so many things and so many moments that could get in the way. And it's keeping the focus on the why, on how you really want to feel in this lifetime. So without further ado, I welcome to the podcast, Danielle Kobo. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
I'm thrilled to have you here with us. And I see right behind you, your book, Unstoppable Grit. Of all of the things in the world that you have could have written a book about, why is grit the topic? Why is that the thing that you speak about and you're so passionate about?
Because through a series of events that I've taken on through my life, the underlining thread of why I've been able to be where I'm at today was because of my grit. And it's the one thing that people have always asked, how is it that you've been able to experience so many challenges in your life and being able to bounce back and just like reinvent yourself and move forward? And it all comes down to grit. So my mission is to help people break through the roadblocks that are standing between them and achieving their goal. And that's through developing unstoppable grit.
Yeah, that's so. How do you define grit exactly? And I know some of us, that word has come into the vernacular a little bit more. So we kind of have a general idea, but any word like creativity, or there's so many different definitions. What is your definition of grit?
Yeah. So the person that really coined the word grit, or I would say has the most recognition for the word grit, is Angela Duckworth. And Angela Duckworth did a TED talk. She wrote a book on grit, and it's passion. And the definition she gives is passion and perseverance towards long-term goals. Which I absolutely agree with. It is, success is not always defined by your IQ score, really what she goes into. It's the grit, the grittiness that you have that has you keep on going. But I think in order to be gritty, you have to have clarity on what your passion is and have clarity on how to persevere through some of those challenges. So I believe that it's in order to be successful, it's not only you have the clarity, You have the passion and the perseverance. And when setbacks occur, it's the ability to take action and keep going. Because you can have passion and you can have perseverance, but if you don't have the clarity and you don't take action on what your goals are, then you're going to be stuck in where you're at.
Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to put a pin in that. We're going to come back to clarity and action. And I would love to hear your journey. Like, how have you in your life seen, you mentioned all of the hard things that you have faced. Where have you seen your grittiest self coming to the table as you look back in your journey that's brought you to today?
Yeah, I would say kind of two defining moments. One, the first one was my mom was somebody that was a role model in my life. But my mom and I had a very beautiful and a very broken relationship. And I think that the experiences that I experienced early on when I was 2.5 years old is kind of what helped define my character and having grit. So my mom actually took me from my father. She kidnapped me from my father. I didn't end up meeting my father until I was 15 years old. So in a lot of ways, I felt like I was unworthy. I felt like he had chosen another family. I felt like I wasn't good enough. So I've always experienced a lot of self-doubt in my life. A lot of protective that I put up was like a wall to protect myself. I was very guarded throughout my life. But at the same time, I didn't know that my mom took me from my dad. So I grew up believing that my mom was a single mom. She was working full time. She was getting her bachelor's degree when I was 5 years old. And I saw this woman who was determined. She had motivation. She was resilient. She had perseverance. And she had gone from absolutely nothing, us living in a one bedroom apartment with my bed in the living room and us having nothing, to having a very successful career in medical sales, climbing up the corporate ladder, becoming a region manager of the top 10 pharmaceutical company in the world. And I ended up following in her footsteps. So she was really my role model for me. And I believe that just you're born with an innate characteristic of grit, but I also believe that you need to learn it as well. And whether it's through your own experiences or what it's modeled for you. So I would say that's where I learned it from.
Yeah, isn't it fascinating that happened, that belief that was formed in you when you were only 2 years old? And sometimes it's that lack of information. We end up making up some story that might not even be true. You weren't able at the time to put in the context of what was happening. So how had that impacted you? Because, and I ask this because there's so many people listening to this podcast, you know, were aware maybe of some of these stories, or were beginning to become aware of some of these stories, and were wondering, how have you been able to turn inward and notice that, you know, there was this brokenness in that relationship because of that defining moment for myself when I was younger? Like, what has supported you in moving through some of that brokenness there?
A lot of the questions that I ask myself whenever I experiencing self-doubt. So we all experience self-doubt. Even the most confident people in the world experience self-doubt. And I'll give the example of, I'm a professional speaker. I speak full-time. And it is very well known in the speaking community that we all get anxious. We all get a little nervous before we get on stage. And these are people that do it for a living. So we all experience it. It's just, how quickly are we able to move from that self-doubt into the confidence and courage to go after what we want? And for me, anytime I'm experiencing self-doubt, I always ask myself, is this a story that I'm telling myself, or is this actual fact? And that question alone, 90% of the time, it's a story that I'm telling myself. There's no facts behind it. And so that's something that really helps me out. And then the second is when I do experience self-doubt, I always ask myself, where is it coming from? Is it because there's a fear? Is it a fear of the unknown? Is it a fear of something that may or may not happen? Am I just creating the worriness within me? And a lot of times it is. Maybe I'm on the brink of something extraordinary coming up, but I'm a little nervous. I was a little nervous before the launch of my book because I was going, I put a year into this book. Are people going to like it? Are they going to love it? And here it became a bestseller within its first week of its launch. So a lot of positive response, but I could have easily let that self-doubt paralyze me and go, oh, I don't even know if I want to release it. But instead, it's like, okay, well, why am I getting nervous over this? Well, it's more excitement for it. And it's just a hope that people are going to find something impactful in it that's going to transform their lives in a positive way and make an impact in their life.
Yeah. And nervousness and excitement, many of us know, are two sides of the same coin. So if you can shift the thought around it, you can completely shift your being around it. When you go to speak, because that's also a topic that I speak about a lot with people who listen to this podcast, because I too speak and obviously have a podcast, and both of us are using our voices, and that feels really scary to a lot of people. And it would have felt incredibly scary to me even 5-6 years ago. I was that kid who I waited until the very last second to take my public speaking class in college. I did not want to take it. In fact, I remember walking in one day to class and I almost turned around and just left because I didn't want to have to do my speech. Like, it's so scary. Do you have any tools that can support people? What you talked about, that little shift. Is there anything that you do when you go to speak that helps to shift you out of the doubt, that helps to shift you out of the nervousness? Do you have any tools?
Yeah. So the first is just recognizing that we all get anxious, and anxiousness is good. If at any point I'm not anxious, then I would question whether I am going into that particular keynote with good intentions, because anxiousness is good. It means that I care. And so that's important. Know that everybody in the audience is looking at you and going, I can't do what you do. So they even thought of getting up on stage, you're already 10 steps ahead because you're doing it and they're not. Most of the time they're nervous. The other thing is shift the perspective from what are they thinking of me to how can I serve my audience? When we start shifting the perspective and what's best for the audience, we start to take it away. We start to take away the me, me, me. And that helps in building confidence. And the last one is, practice is not perfection. Practice is building confidence. So the more you practice your speech, the more you build confidence in helping you. And there's also one thing that someone said to me, and this is always really resonated. There's a speech you practice, there's a speech you give, and then there's a speech that you wish you gave. Mm-hmm. And that always happens with every single speech.
Yeah. Yeah. There's opportunity for improvement.
Every time.
What drove you to actually write a book? I heard you say, I think on one of your podcasts or one of your talks somewhere, you said, you know, I poured a year and a half. You spent 20 hours a week working on this book. You've just poured so much of your lifeblood into the book. So this is actually a twofold question. I want to hear, as somebody who I myself am interested in doing it, my listeners are like, Jen, why still haven't you written your book? But also for everybody who is listening, like, what... what drove you to really dive into that process, to make it happen, to actually bring it into fruition? And now it's a bestseller and you're getting to celebrate that. But what drove you to do it? And what did you gain from following through on that?
If you would have asked me 3 years ago that you'd be writing a book, I'd say, absolutely not. You're crazy. It was never on my radar. I had never intentions of running a business, never had intentions of being a speaker, never had intentions of writing a book. But 2020 was a year, like many of us had experienced, was a year of shift and change and pivot. For me, the year started with my husband's return home from a year deployment. So my husband was in 2019, he was in Iraq. He served a year deployment. Our twin boys at the time were 1.5 years old to 2.5 years old. So when he left, they were learning to walk, sleeping in cribs, learning to say their first couple words. He comes back, they've formulated complete sentences, they're talking back at him, throwing temper tantrums, and in a toddler bed. So a very drastic difference. So when he came back from deployment, it was a big shift for us. I mean, it was difficult with him being gone for a year because I was still working full time, but the transition home was a lot harder than I thought. And right as we started to find our rhythm, March 8th, I lost my mom, and I lost my mom to suicide. So in a time where, when I found out the news, I remember collapsing to the ground and tears flowing down my eyes on my cheeks, because I couldn't believe that she was in so much pain that the only option that she felt viable to release that pain was to take her life. And my mom and I had an estranged relationship. It's a whole nother podcast episode, but I still loved her and I still wanted nothing more than for her to be happy. And to know that she took her life was devastating. And right as I was trying to find a way to cope and plan for her celebration of life and, you know, writing and planning all the logistics of her celebration of life, March 13th, the pandemic hit. The whole entire world shut down. So I wasn't able to go back to California and go through her things, have any sort of closure. I had to do everything remotely. And as I was going through the coping and trying to heal from the loss of my mom, the company that I was with had been acquired by another organization, and it became a very, very toxic work environment to the point where I ended up leaving. And so what inspired writing the book was I went through all of these events that affected me personally and professionally within a 6-month period. And at the very end of the 6 months, I felt so deflated. I felt so insecure. I felt so like I had lost a sense of my identity. I had tied so much of my identity to my paycheck, to my job title, Fortune 500 senior sales manager. I had tied my identity to my awards that I had earned in sales. And I had lost who I was in the process. And through a series of counseling and a lot of exercises, I was able to rediscover what success means to me and how I want to show up in the world. And really what came out of a year of rediscovery and discovery and reflection was I wanted to make a positive impact on the world. I wanted my legacy to be, every time I was around Danielle, I felt inspired and empowered, and I felt like I'd accomplish anything. And I said, you know what? There are so many people out there that are probably experiencing or could relate to one or many of the stories that I have, many of the challenges that I've gone through in my life. And if there's a way that I can help other people be able to overcome adversity and to build a career and life that they love, then that is what I'm here to do. And so that's what inspired the book.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your journey. And it's incredible that through all of that pain and the confusion and your entire life just got completely like a snow globe, just shaken up. And it's like, where is this even settling? The chaos of that experience, I just can't even imagine it. And then the fact that you were able to come to the other side of it. There's so many opportunities in that to turn so woe is me focused. And in general, our ego mind wants to go there, right? So the strength that it takes to pull through and to do all of the things, I just want to acknowledge that, to do all of the things that you have done to get here.
There's many times that I said, woe is me. There's many times where I said, why is this happening to me? What did I do? I don't understand what I was doing to have this happen to me. But then I started to think, instead of thinking of why is this happening to me? What would it sound like if I started shifting it and saying, okay, how is this shaping me into the person that I'm meant to be? And that was a big mindset shift for me, because now looking back and going through that experience, I don't regret it at all. I mean, obviously I'd love to have my mom back, but I would still be at the same company unhappy if it wasn't for a door shutting. And I would still be doing the same thing. I would have never imagined that I would one day write a book, that I would become a sought after speaker, that I would have a podcast that's rated top 5% globally in the world. All of these amazing accomplishments and so exciting. It feels like I'm starting a whole new career for the first time. And yet I would have never done it if those events didn't happen. So I don't regret things in life. I believe that all of the challenges we experience shape us into the person that we're meant to be tomorrow.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. That shift in perspective that you have taken on it to say, you know, we're always making meaning. And you're choosing the meaning that you're making. And that meaning is that it's shaping you into something you're able to turn around and offer those gifts to others. That's really, really powerful. I have a question for you about clarity. We talked about clarity at the very beginning of this conversation. And I have pulled people over and over and over, like about, you know, every 6 months, I like put out a poll. I'm like, what's the thing that you really need right now? And I say it within my own community, like, what's the thing that you really need right now? And over and over and over, people say clarity.
It's always clarity. I hear the same thing. Clarity. Every single person I work with, it's I want clarity.
Right. That's like, it's what we want so bad. And one of the things you said, like in that grit process, it's like that clarity is important. How do we gain clarity? What's one of the things that has worked for you? What works for your clients? What is something that can support us no matter where we're at, what we're trying to get clarity on? Do you have any tools or thoughts or something that you can share to support us there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I hear this all the time when I'm working with clients. They all want clarity. And I take the readers through several exercises to help them to get clarity and to find success on their own terms, but I'll kind of go through one of them here. So when I did lose my mom, one of the things that you do is you write an obituary. And that was an eye-opening experience for me because as I was writing it for my mom, I'm like, I wonder if am I doing due diligence in saying something about her that she would be proud of, that she would want to be said about her, publishing in a newspaper. And so then it made me kind of think about like, wow, what am my kids going to say when it's time for me to pass? So one of the exercises that I did was I wrote my own obituary, and I wrote my obituary from the perspective of colleagues and a perspective of a family member. But what I first did was I went onto Facebook and I said, if there was three words that you can use to describe me, what would it be? It was a very vulnerable moment. That is not like me to do something like that, to put myself out there. But I felt so lost. I felt like I didn't know who I was. And I was like, well, what do other people think of me? And I think deep down inside, it was like my way of going, kind of putting it on other people versus like really following my own intuition of what I think of myself. And so the comments started to flood in: driven, motivated, inspiring, empowering, gritty, perseverance, tenacity. All of these like powerful words kept coming in, and I'm going, wow, here's what people see in me that I don't see in myself. Like, that is, why am I not seeing this in myself? And it was because I felt so lost. So then what I started to do is I started to write my own obituary and think about, at the end of the day, people aren't going to remember you for your paycheck. They're not going to remember you for your job title. They're going to remember you for how you made them feel. And what I ended up writing is I wanted to make a positive impact in the world. And by impact, that helped me kind of define one of my core values, and any decision that I make is based off of impact. So writing the book was aligned with impact. Getting more involved in my community and doing more volunteer work was involved with making a positive impact. How can I make a positive impact in being a great parent to my kids or to be a great spouse to my spouse? So that, I believe, really helped kind of get clarity for me as to how I wanted to show up in the world, not based off of what society tells us how we should show up in the world.
Yeah. Oh, you just hit on the whole purpose of this podcast. I'm like, yes, not what society thinks, what you think. I'm a little bit of a nonconformist by nature. Speaking of nonconformists, what a potentially dark exercise you're talking about by writing your own obituary. But at the same time, like what it actually is doing is helping to give you that beautiful space so you can step back and look at it through different eyes. And I mean, you had this very visceral experience with that of going through that with your mom. And thank you for sharing that story with us to give us the perspective really powerfully in how this could really, really deeply support us. But what it makes me think about when you speak about the feeling is that when I was an employee experience strategist, anytime we crafted something for employees, we would step back and say, okay, how do we want people to feel? And what you're saying with the obituary is, in your life, the life that you were creating in the here and now, how do you want people to feel? It matters. Mm-hmm. It really matters. How do you want to feel? How do you want people to feel?
I want people to feel. I love it when I meet with somebody and, you know, maybe they're telling me about a business idea that they have, or maybe a position that they want to pursue, or a job they're going for, or a maybe they have a crush on somebody, and to talk them through and see the unique spark that they have deep inside them. Like, there is something that I'm able to see in people that they don't see in themselves. And then to build them up and have them feel like confident, like they can accomplish anything. That to me, I get goosebumps, because that to me is the most rewarding experience out there, is when people start to chase after things that they never would have imagined because they finally have the confidence to believe in themselves. And when you believe in yourself, other people will believe in you too.
Yeah, I hope that people listening can hear when we're talking about clarity. Clear. Clear as a bell. You're so clear in your mission. You're so clear. That's what's driven you. When we step back and we come back around to the book and the questions about the book, that's what's driven you to create this book. You're so clear about that. It's freaking clear as hell. So thank you for sharing that exercise. And I'm sure your book is packed with lots of other things that can support people in the same thing. And you seem like the kind of person who thinks about things a little bit differently, which I think is really kind of cool and powerful. But one last question that's a little bit off field, but I think you potentially have a point of view that could be different or supportive or helpful to people. You're in sales. You did sales for a long time.
15 years of medical sales.
Yeah. And selling, of all things, medical, that can't be the easiest sales. But that's the thing that so many women in particular struggle with. And it doesn't matter if you're selling yourself in a job, if you're selling a product and a presentation, if you're selling an actual physical product, if you're an entrepreneur and you're selling your services, we struggle as hell with sales. Do you have anything that you can share that along your journey has been supportive to you in selling, whether it was that job, whether it's currently as a speaker and an entrepreneur, whether it's with your book? Just even one nugget that you can tell people.
You know, it's funny because I started my career in capital equipment sales. And out of 100 sales representatives, there were 7 female, and I was one of the 7 female. And while I was there for 5.5 years, I earned 4 consecutive president's awards for top performance. And I was the youngest sales rep by at least 5 years. Compared to anybody else in the company. And I believe that it really does go down to, you know, we are all in sales. Every single day we are selling ourselves. Like, we put sales in this category of, I am not a salesperson, or I just do sales. And it's like, at the end of the day, we're selling whether people want to be friends with us, whether they want to date us, whether they want to work with us, whether they want to go and have lunch with us. It's all in how we present ourselves. And to me, I'm never selling a widget. I'm selling value. What is the value of working with me? What is the value of dating me? What is the value of being a friend to me? Like, how am I going to add value to whoever's life I am interacting with on a day-to-day basis? And I believe that that's where we get to make that shift of, you're not selling something. It's how you show up and how you are interacting with other people and how you are adding value to the people that you're with.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. I think that's such another big shift in perspective. And we can get so caught up in the selling ourselves. And it's taking that step back and seeing the value.
Yeah. Can we say something too on interviewing specifically? So I work with a lot of people that I do interview coaching. And we also get to take the shift in perspective that you're not selling yourself in the interview. Interviewing is like dating. You're interviewing them as much as they are interviewing you, because you also want to make sure that it's a manager that you want to work with, that it's a culture that you like, the company, you like the products, like you like the mission that they're on. And at any given time, you have the ability to say no to that particular company. So I think that's also really important that we shift our perspective, that interviewing is like dating. You are interviewing them as much as they are interviewing you.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much for saying that. That is huge, 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 huge. And the way that you show up for an interview with that mindset completely changes everything. It changes the way that they're perceiving you. It changes the way that you're perceiving them. The way that you show up, the confidence that you're going to show up with is completely different. You feel so free to be yourself when you show up in an interview through that perspective. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm choosing whether this is the job that I want to that I want to get. You also want to put your best foot forward, of course. And thank you for that. Why should we choose grit?
Grit is when, like I said, it's grit is when you have that passion and perseverance. So when you're really clear on what you want and you have the and you align whatever you're doing with something that you're passionate about, that's what's going to give you the resilience to keep going when you experience setbacks. If at any given time you experience a setback, but you're not clear on what you want, it's going to be really hard to have grit.
Yeah. That clarity.
It goes back to that clarity. Yeah. And have clarity on what you're passionate about. Because, you know, I have a vision board that sits above my desk. I do a vision board every single year. And in fact, this year I got a group of my girlfriends together. We had a charcuterie board, a couple bottles of wine, and we had all these magazines all spread out in the living room, and we were making our vision boards. And I do a vision board every single year, and I put it above my desk. And at any time that I'm feeling overwhelmed, burnt out, exhausted, I look at my vision board and I remind myself, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And are the decisions that I'm making, are the steps that I'm doing, are they in line with my vision board? And if they're not, then there's an opportunity to reprioritize whatever I'm doing. But it's also like I have visual pictures. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm working hard because I want to go to Machu Picchu and I want to go explore Machu Picchu. And I have a snowman on my vision board because I want to go build a snowman with my kids. They've never been to snow. I come from California. They're Floridians. But also, you know, I've got TED Talk. So when, you know, eventually I want to do a TED Talk. And so it's being highly focused and dedicating time and applying and writing the TED Talk and taking those actionable steps to help me achieve my goals.
Yeah, beautiful. Have you been to Machu Picchu yet?
I have not. No, I will say that I am an avid traveler. I try to travel as much as I can. However, having twin boys that are 6 years old make it a little bit more challenging. Plus, I'm a military spouse. So the government dictates where we cannot go, can and cannot go, can and cannot go. So it's gotten a little harder having kids, but we still try to do, you know, weekend getaways. I've also always found that I always have something on the calendar to look forward to, no matter what. So if you look at my calendar, I got Legoland booked someday. I got a trip to Naples booked another day because I always want something to look forward to. It reminds me why I'm working.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, one last question that I ask everybody who comes on the podcast. Danielle, where do you see the magic in the world?
In the people that authentically show up as themselves. That's where the real magic is. The people that are real, that are vulnerable, that you can relate to. The people that show up, the good, the bad, the ugly, but are there and willing to be a friend, to be the support system, to spread kindness.
Thank you for that. Yeah. You might be the first person to ever say that. Ooh. Somebody could call me out on that if not true, but... Out of over 90 people to 90 responses, I just love hearing what comes up for people. And yeah, that authenticity, when we're willing to be vulnerable for other people, it shows them that they can do it too. There's so much power in it. Thank you so much, Danielle, for coming on the podcast, for sharing your story. Where can people get your book? Where can they connect with you, listen to your podcast, all the things? Where can they get the other than in the show notes?
Yeah, other than the show notes. So yes, the book Unstoppable Grit, Breakthrough the 7 Roadblocks Standing Between You and Achieving Your Goals is available on Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. And then when you order the book, you can go to my website, daniellekobo.com/book. And I have a free courageous goal setting guide that you could download as well. So that is a free resource. And then Unstoppable Grit podcast with Danielle Kobo. And I'm on every single social media platform you could possibly find. So just search Danielle Kobo and I'm out there.
You're very easy to find.
Very easy to find. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this conversation. Maybe it inspired you so much that you yourself are considering starting your own podcast. If that is you, if you're one of those people who has dreamed of starting a podcast, or even if you're just podcast curious, I encourage you to check out my program that I've got coming up. I feel like it is time for more people to raise their authentic voices and to share the things that are on our hearts. Not only is it amazing for other people to be inspired by the things that you have to share. It's also good for you. Clear your throat chakra. Start getting your voice and your message out there into the world. And that's why I have put together a program to show you the exact method that has helped me start both of my podcasts. Seriously, in 6 weeks or less, I'm going to teach you how to move through the entire process in a high-touch program. Join Podcast Now, a 6-week program to launch your dream podcast and start making an impact with your voice, with your message, putting it out into the world. We kick it off March 11th. If you join now, you are going to get an awesome early bird price, getting more than $300 off of the course. Go to genlist.com/podcastnow to learn more. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Danielle. You know, there were so many really powerful nuggets along the way. And a few of the things that had really stood out to me when she said that it's really about how quickly you can move from that self-doubt into confidence and courage. That's what really matters, is simply that shift out of the doubt and into the confidence and courage and just tightening up that gap. And the way that she says you can tighten up that gap is practice. Get out there and practice. And practice doesn't have to look beautiful. Practice is messy. In fact, the quote that was in my little daily journal that I do today is from Julia Cameron. She says, "It is impossible to get better and look good at the same time. Give yourself permission to be a beginner. Give yourself permission to practice. It's in the practice that we gain the confidence and the courage so that we can tighten up that gap between our self-doubt and our confidence." Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that you gained some really valuable, cool things from this conversation with Danielle. Go check out her book. The links are in the show notes. And stay tuned for Thursday. I will pull out a little nugget from this episode for our Thursday thread. It's a Thursday thread. We will talk about something in this episode that made me think that I chewed on a little bit, and we will dig into that. So join me again on Thursday. There's always a little bit of breath work at the end of our Thursday episode as well. So come and join me over there. If you did enjoy this episode right here with Danielle, I encourage you to share it with a friend. Share it with somebody who might gain something from this conversation about grit, who might gain something from this conversation about overcoming our self-doubt, finding clarity. Maybe you can sit down and write obituaries together. Forget the vision board party. We're all going to get together and write obituaries together. Thank you so much for listening. If you really enjoyed this episode, you can take a screenshot of it and share it on social media. Tag me, tag Danielle. We will reshare your post if something in this really, really touched your heart. It would touch our hearts to know that as well. Thanks again. You just keep shining your magical unicorn light out there for all to see. I'll see you next time. Bye.